We are all at WMS, and we're going to be your MCs for this evening. Just a quick reminder, if you could silence your cell phones. I know some of you guys have kids at home, babysitters, but if you could silence your cell phones for this evening. We're going to begin with acknowledging the patron saints for this evening. Each of you on your tables, one per couple, has a prayer card in front of you. The patron saints for this evening are St. Louis and Zelie Martin. Louis and Zelie Martin were canonized in 2015 by Pope Francis as the second married couple ever to be canonized saints together as a married couple. So let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
O loving God, you ordained marriage to be a path of holiness and a sacramental sign of self-emptying love. We thank you for Saints Louis and Zelie Martin, who draw that path together, walking hand in hand on their journey of faith. The holy love you have sown in their hearts for abundant fruit for heaven, lovely blossoms for the church, and a particularly sweet little flower. By the example of Saints Louis and Zelie, may all married couples grow in fidelity, purity, and steadfast love. Through the prayerful intercession of these two saints, may you renew and strengthen the bonds of marriage and family life throughout the world. Amen.
Okay, so welcome to our first event. The goal of our event is to create an inspirational evening for married couples to reflect, celebrate, and just take some time to praise the Lord for our marriages. St. John the Paul the Great said, "Love that leads to marriage is a gift from God and a great act of faith toward other human beings."
Mother Teresa said, "If you want to change the world, go home and love your family." How do we evaluate or score a successful marriage? There's no scorecard or scoreboard when it comes to marriage. Each marriage is different. How do we know if we have a successful marriage? Edward Serry, in one of his talks, in one of his speeches, talks about if someone asks you how your marriage is going, if you said, "It's great, we haven't divorced yet," that's not a measure of a successful marriage.
The church teaches us in the catechism that the love of the spouses requires the unity of the spouses' community of persons, which embraces their entire life. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. They are called to grow continually in their communion of day-to-day fidelity to their marriage promise of total mutual self-giving.
The equivalent to a touchdown or a home run in marriage isn't one particular moment. It's that daily choice. It's saying I do, not just on your wedding day, but saying I do love, honor, and respect you. It's saying I do want to become more holy. It's saying I do want to be the best version of myself. Inviting God into your marriage and allow Him to guide you, you can experience joy. Tonight is a night for a touchdown celebration dance. For all the I do's, if you've been married for 5 years, if you've been married for 50 years, tonight is a night to praise the Lord, reflect on God's plan for marriage, and all the joy His plan brings.
So, as we said, we're Paul and Debbie Donosky. We're not speaking about marriage because we have a perfect marriage. We've been married for 8 years. We have 4 kids under the age of 5. We have... twin girls that are 4 years old, and then we have a 2-year-old son and then a 4-month-old son at home. So we both work in education, and Paul's been spending his career serving kids with special needs.
Debbie's a teacher here at Catholic schools in Grand Rapids. Debbie's also from Brazil, and she speaks 3 languages. And I always joke that Debbie speaks 3 languages better than I speak 1. Debbie speaks Portuguese. She went to school here and studied Spanish. And when she came to the United States in 2nd grade, she didn't speak any English. So she speaks English better than I do, and she often helps me edit my papers for work. So one day, instead of just saying, you know, Debbie speaks 3 languages, I speak 1, I decided to do something about that, and I found this book. And not only did I learn 1 language, I learned 5 languages, the 5 love languages. And I am fluent now in quality time and words of affirmation.
Imagine having four kids under the age of five. Our life is very hectic and messy at times, but we try, and it's hard sometimes to just stop and reflect and laugh about what happens during our day. Besides speaking the five love languages, I always joke that God has blessed Paul with many other gifts, like not being able to smell dirty diapers, sleeping through the night when our children are crying. One day when we had twins, they were both crying, and I heard him get up, and I'm like, is he actually waking up right now? And he turned the monitor off.
Debbie and I have my gifts, superpowers, but Debbie and I compliment each other in a lot of ways. Debbie has very realistic expectations when it comes to gifts. I remember when we first started dating, I used to give Debbie flowers, and one day she said, you know, you don't really need to buy me flowers, they just die in a couple days. I said, you can just take a picture of flowers. They last a lot longer.
I'm like, will you stop buying flowers and just Google a picture, send it to me, and it'll be the same. He's like, I'm going to marry you.
So on anniversaries and birthdays, that's been nice. And I realized that, you know, I don't need to buy Debbie fancy jewelry, or I don't need to buy her like a Coach purse. I can just go to the streets of Brazil and find an assistant Coach purse. And she'd be just as happy. And so I've become, as I put it, the Don Juan DeMarco of gift giving. Knowing and living God's plan for the vision of marriage, those daily moments when you say I do during the works, when you say I do during the joys, and when you say I do even those times where they're suffering, it's all leading you to the right end, to your time here on earth. So probably a lot of you haven't been to a marriage event like this tonight. Just a little bit of what to expect. In a couple of minutes, you guys are going to have some time to talk and reflect on what you cherish about your marriage and what you cherish about each other. Before we begin eating, we're blessed to have Bishop Kobiak here with us to give us a blessing. Notos has prepared a magically delicious meal for you, and we're also blessed to have Deacon Dominic Pastore and Teresa Tamio here speaking. And then we're going to end the evening by dancing the night away with DJ Brian Zimmerman here. Thank you, Brian. Two things here. The cash bar outside, that's going to be open all evening for you. And there's also, if you've noticed, a coffee bar out there. That will be open for the rest of the evening.
So if you're wondering how this event came to be, the Strobels attended a marriage event on the east side of the state. And they went to the Davids and said, we need to make this happen. And so this is the first time in West Michigan that we've brought the Cherish Marriage event. And events like this have been going on since 1981 all around the world.
World Marriage Day started in 1981 in Louisiana, where a couple and their priests on St. Valentine's Day said, we're going to proclaim this to be, we believe in Marriage Day. World Marriage Day honors husband and wife as the foundations of family, the basic unit of society. It salutes the beauty of their faithfulness, sacrifice, and joy in daily married life.
National Marriage Week is an international campaign that actually started in London in 1997, and it came over to the United States in 2010. And their goal is to strengthen marriages and promote and communicate the benefits of the wonderful gift that God has given us.
Good evening, everyone. I had no idea this was an inaugural event. The first of its type here in our neck of the woods, so to speak, and I'm very glad that I'm here. Troy Nevins was very, very gracious in inviting me and giving me all the information about it, and I promptly forgot to put the event on my calendar. But luckily, somebody emailed me and said, well, we'll see you tonight, and I said, at what? But I'm very happy to be here with you, and I want to thank you for the example that you give. Example, as we know, actions speak louder than words, and your example has a wonderful ripple effect. We know that the family is the school of love. You know, when we get old enough, we realize our parents tell us that God loved us first, and we learn to love him back. And of course, when we come into the world, our parents and our siblings love us first, and eventually we learn how to give love back. And so that is why I'm so very, very happy to see so many married couples who appreciate their God-given vocation and who want to celebrate that and want to learn more about it and want to deepen that. It's true of all vocations. And so it's a wonderful thing that we are here tonight to hear speakers and to just celebrate this great and wondrous vocation that is marriage. So let us now begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God and Creator, we bless and praise your holy name. In the beginning you made man and woman so that they might enter a communion of life and love. You likewise bless the union of our couples here present so that they might reflect the union of Christ with his church. Look with kindness upon them this evening. Amid the joys and struggles in their life, you have preserved the union between them. Renew their marriage covenant. Increase your love in them and strengthen their bond of peace, so that they may always rejoice in the gift of your blessing. Bless, Lord God, this time we spend together and the food which we now share through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Ordained deacon in the Archdiocese of Detroit in 2012, Dominic Pastore ministers to couples at retreats, pilgrimages, and conferences. He serves as deacon at St. Isaac in suburban Detroit. Pastore has a master's degree in pastoral studies from Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. He is vice president and senior electrical engineer for Smith Group in Detroit, where he has been employed since 1980. Pastore is Knight of the Order of Malta, a member of the Board of Mary Sandville, a Catholic home for pregnant and unwed mothers. He and his wife, Teresa Tamio, led pilgrimages to Rome and other parts of Italy for married couples.
Teresa Tamio is a best-selling author of syndicated Catholic talk shows and speaker with more than 30 years of experience in print and broadcast media. Her weekday radio program, Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN, is heard daily on 300 stations nationwide and also on SiriusXM satellite radio. Her TV show, The Catholic View for Women, is heard twice weekly on EWTN. Tamio is a columnist and special correspondent on Our Sunday Visitor. She has been featured on the Orion Factor, Fox News, Fox and Friends, MSNBC, and The Dr. Laura Show. She was named a Vatican Conference Speaker and Conference Delegate and spoke at the 2013 Conference, Rights of the Family and the Challenges of the Contemporary World, sponsored by the Vatican Women's Congress. She speaks throughout North America and also leads retreats and pilgrimages annually. Tamio is a teacher for St. Benedict's Press Catholic courses. Her books include Extreme Makeover, God's Bucket List, and Walk Softly and Carry a Great Bag. She and her husband, Dominic Osuri, live in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. We welcome them tonight. Hello, Grand Rapids!
Good evening, everyone. This is an absolutely unbelievable turnout. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Woo! The just want to give a shout out. Can everybody hear me? Yeah, normally nobody has a hard time hearing me. A couple of thank yous. First of all, to the Strobels and the team for putting on the very first, but a sellout, amazingly successful first World Marriage Day dinner. And of course, I have to say a shout out to Holy Family Radio here in Grand Rapids. Very involved in, of course, promoting this event, and I'll be discussing the men's conference, keep the conference that's coming up in March, and Deacon Jim's going to be on the show, and some of the speakers, and you have phenomenal speakers. I'm just seeing Father Larry is coming back. We just spoke with him 2 weeks ago at a marriage conference in Kalamazoo, and you've got Father Michael Gately, and you don't want to miss that. That's amazing. And also, I don't know how many of you know this, but I have a very strong connection to this wonderful, wonderful facility. Joanne Noto and I are very old friends, not because we're old, because we've known each other since college at Central Michigan University, where we studied journalism together. Joanne even came to my wedding, and they do such a fabulous job. And this is a real Italian restaurant. Thank you very much. And this is an anniversary for them. They're celebrating 20 years today. Phenomenal. Give them a round of applause. So you guys are going to be sick of us by the end of next week, because we have been hanging out in Western Michigan. 2 weeks ago, we were in Kalamazoo, and we did a marriage conference, as I said, with Father Larry. And then we went up to the Lansing, kind of on the border of the Lansing-Grand Rapids dioceses. And then we're coming back here on Thursday. We're speaking to Legatus, to the Legatus chapter. So, I don't know, you guess you kind of like us, you know? I mean, a little bit. I feel like Sally Fields. You like me. You really, really like me. All right, well, this evening we're going to be talking about our book, Intimate Graces. And it's based on the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. And we're very excited about this book. It came out in 2015, right before the Year of Mercy. And it's been doing incredibly well. And it really means a lot to us to speak together as a deacon couple. As you heard, Dominic has been ordained going on 5 years now. And ever since this book came out, the Lord has really been using it to do events like this. We did a marriage conference in Brighton, Michigan today. And we're speaking all over the country, trying to share the whole idea of what it means to apply the beautiful corporal and spiritual works of mercy to our marriage, which we never even thought about. And I doubt very much, when we were in our early years, and we've been married 33 years, just over 33 years, that we would have even thought about coming to something like this, because it's a religious thing. And we wouldn't think about doing anything. It really isn't. It's a couple thing. It's a marriage thing. It's a faith thing, yes. But this would have seemed kind of odd to us.
Very foreign to us, and I think we even see that still even to this day, where people don't spend time investing in their marriages. We all think that our marriages are just going to take care of themselves. And that's not. And reading papers and seeing the statistics every day, that's just not the case. We have to spend time with our marriages. We have to put the time and effort into growing our marriage, making it strong, helping others who are struggling. And this is just an absolutely wonderful event to do that. But when we first got married, I mean, having the Lord a part of our marriage and doing things for growing our marriage is almost like an oxymoron. Why do we just need that? We're happy. We just got married, or, you know, we've got a house and all that. And it just wasn't something that we thought we needed to do. And it almost, as you'll hear in a little bit, led to our demise.
So we have a PowerPoint, very simple, sort of just kind of eye candy for you, you know, based on the book. We're going to walk you through this. We are selling the book, and it'd be great if you got a copy. We've got great information in there, our testimony, our full testimony, plus the testimony of many other couples, and with the foreword written by our friends, Julie and Greg Alexander from the Alexander House. And it has great resources in there, marriage encounter, couple prayer, different resources for marriage. And we really hope and pray that in addition to keeping this up, which it's obvious, don't you think you want to have this next year, right? I mean, But that you take this whole concept of a beautiful date night to work on your marriage, to take it further in your relationship and in scheduling your next event together as a couple. Maybe not something as quite, you know, dramatic as this, but even some alone time, and we'll talk about this as we move through the presentation. Before we go, though, I didn't want to go on into our talk without saying hello to a deacon couple who are in front right here, our friends Deacon Tom and Julie Mohan. If you could stand up, please. Just stand up. Give them a round of applause. Deacon Tom and Deacon Dominic were ordained together, and we had a wonderful class, and we're all very close. So thanks, you guys, for coming and saying hi. They left the Detroit area and now live here, and Deacon Tom serves in the Diocese of Grand Rapids. So. All right, enough. Thank you. So now we have to get on with the talk. So just a brief outline, a little bit of an agenda that we're going to go over tonight. We'll give you a little bit of a catechesis on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, because when they asked us to write the book, we were like, okay, I guess we've got to go back and look in Scripture and see what they actually are to remember. We'll give you a mini testimony of our story and how God's mercy saved our marriage. I mean, because seriously, if you listen to me on the radio, you know that this is not what I expected to do. This is not what Dominic expected to do. If you would have told us 20 years ago that he would be a deacon, that I'd be a Catholic evangelist and a talk show host, I would have told you, I don't know what you're smoking or drinking, but I want to. Totally not my plan. And then we're going to take a brief look at, this is a passion of mine, as you know if you listen to my show, about how many of us as Catholics have been catechized instead of by the church. We've been catechized by the culture. And we've seen a lot of this lately, especially in the last few years, in terms of the attacks on family life and marriage. Briefly look at what mercy is and what mercy isn't. And then giving you some real practical tips in terms of applying the works of mercy to your marriage. And then we'll wrap up with some words of encouragement. I don't know if we'll have time for Q&A. Probably not, because we have to get dancing. Don't get the dance too often, so I really want to hit the dance floor with you when we're done here.
And I get
it. It's going to be like the Italians and the Polish ladies who dance together.
When you think about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, I think maybe two things come to mind. The first is the scene in Matthew's Gospel in the final judgment, where those who are being judged ask the Lord, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or naked or thirsty and minister to you?" Or just the opposite, "When did we see you in those situations and not minister to you?" And the Lord says, "When you did it to the least of my brothers, you did it for me." And for that, I think the longest part in our lives, and especially my life, I always kind of, somehow, when I heard that and read that part of Scripture, I took that as almost a metaphor, as if the Lord was saying, it's as if he did it for me, or to me. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, you literally did it to me. He is the one in those distressful disguises of the poor, the hungry, and the lonely, who we minister to or don't minister to. The other thing is, I think we think of those situations where we have an opportunity to do that to those in the margins of society, the lost, the lonely, the homeless that you see on the street corners. And how many of us have thought about it in the context of our marriage? When we come home from work and our spouse is hungry to talk to someone about their day, and we, as Miriam's men, go into the den and watch ESPN, we're not ministering to the Lord. We're ignoring the Lord in that situation. Or when we do that, it's the Lord who is servicing through our spouse. And so that's why we think that practicing the works of corporal and spiritual works of mercy can transform our marriages into the types of marriage that God had intended for marriage to be from the very beginning.
So a brief little review of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Corporal works of mercy, obviously, corporal, dealing with the body. Feeding the hungry, as Dominic mentioned, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, visiting the sick, ransoming the captive, and burying the dead.
And the spiritual works of mercy, which minister to the spirit, are admonishing the sinner, instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, comfort the sorrowful, bear wrongs patiently, forgive injuries willingly, pray for the living and the dead.
So now I just want to give you just a short version of our testimony. We've been married, as I just said, for 33 years. So if we gave you the whole story, we'd be here until next February 4th. So we'll give you the abridged version. And the full story is in the book, Intimate Graces, as I said, along with other testimonies of married couples who've had strong reversions. We're reverts, both of us raised as cradle Catholics, but fell away from the faith. And believe it or not, at 2 points in our marriage, we separated briefly. And actually said the D word, never pursued it seriously, but it was pretty bad. And as we mentioned, we are both raised Catholic, cradle Catholics. We're both, obviously, I know this is a shock, but we're both Italian, 100% Italian. And so we had similar upbringings in terms of, went to Catholic school, went to Mass every week, and we had all the images in the hall, the Last Supper in the kitchen, and the very Italian traditions. But it was more about religion than it was about relationship. And by the time we met, fell in love, and got married, even though we had a beautiful, big Italian wedding in St. Joan of Arc Parish and St. Clair Shores, which was our home parish for many years, we didn't go into the marriage with really good marriage prep. I mean, back then, they didn't have a lot. I mean, having events like this would be just really odd. A marriage encounter was already in existence, but we didn't know anything about that. We went to, maybe two sessions with a priest. And we had a multiple choice quiz that we took with a couple, and then we went over the answers with the couple. And then that was it. Then we got married, and we thought, this is great. We were young. We were in love. I had graduated from Central Michigan University with honors and started working right away in radio in Detroit. Very aggressive career, but I was, it was all about my career and the fact that I met a great guy that was wonderful, but, it was all, damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead. And the same thing with Don. He was very supportive of me, being a very successful engineer. But we were the typical yuppies in the 80s, young urban professionals, and we were doing what society was telling us to do. And because we weren't rooted in Christ, even though we were Catholic, things really fell apart fairly quickly. On the outside, we looked like the it couple. We were up and coming in terms of our careers. We bought our first home. We were making money. I had made the transition from radio to TV fairly quickly within about 8 years. And we thought everything was great. As a matter of fact, we even took a fabulous vacation on the Gold Coast, northwest coast of Michigan, did the Charlevoix-Petoskey, went up to, the Tepomenon Falls and stayed at the best places, ate at the finest restaurants. And pretty soon, even though we were out there looking over Lake Michigan and looking at the beautiful golden sunsets, when we came home, the sun started to set on our marriage. Because again, we weren't rooted in Christ.
It's amazing when you don't have Christ in your life and some things, and you start to hit some bumps in the road. There's no place to fall back on. There's nothing to look to say, how do we get through this? There's no consolation. And Teresa and I, the bloom was all started to be off the rose, as they say. And we were both working very hard, very long hours, and we started to drift apart. And I was feeling like there's got to be something more. But I always can say that now because, reflection, but there was an emptiness that was growing inside of me. But it all changed on a very particular day. It was April 23rd, 1989. It was Sunday morning, and since we weren't going to church that often, we were home when the phone rang. Who knew? And it was Tracy's boss at the time, inviting us to a Pistons basketball game. Now, this is late April, 89, so this is Pistons, the first or second year as world champions for a playoff game. Our marriage was kind of, I wouldn't say on the rocks at that time, but certainly we needed a lot of help. And we had thought that maybe this particular weekend, I can remember saying, we're just going to stay home. We're not going to do much. We're just going to try to stop fighting for once and get back on track, sort of, if you will. But now the boss calls and invites us to a Pistons basketball game.
And by the way, these were Bill Bond's seats. I don't know how many of you are from the Detroit area. You remember Bill Bond? So Bill had the front row seats at the Palace of Auburn Hills, and my news director, Helen, and before she went over, and I was working at Channel 50 at the time as a substitute anchor and General Simon Street Reporter. And so Bill couldn't go to the game that night, and Helen got the tickets, and she went about looking for folks to go to the game. But what was interesting is that there were four or five couples. We were like the last on the list. And there were four or five couples that they had asked prior to calling us that Sunday morning to go to the game. And it sounds, what's the big deal about that? But when you go through what we've been through in the reversion, and when you have a relationship with God and you see, you look back in your life and you think of all the way that things happen and the way things just fall into place, the way God works.
Behind the scenes that you never really know about, but you can spend some time in reflection. So the phone rings, and I love basketball, but sometimes, I'll be honest, TV people can be like up to here, right? I'm in here, so that's not my speed, but you can't say no to the boss. So we go. And we had a great time. We had a really nice time. It was a great game. First time I'd ever been to a playoff game and all that stuff. After the game, we went back to Helen Jean's house, and we're sitting around having a glass of wine. And out of the blue, Gene, Helen's boss's husband, asks me, "So what do you do on Monday night?" Now, if he asked me nowadays, I would have said, "Oh, I probably watch Dancing with the Stars. What else do you do?" Back then, I don't quite remember what I answered, but it was probably something like Monday Night Football. I mean, after all, a red-blooded American male on Monday nights in 1989, that was the be-all and end-all, Monday Night Football. And so I said something like that. And he said, "How'd you like to join a Bible study?" I said, "Yeah, sure, that sounds like a good idea."
I think I spit my wine across the room.
Couple of things. First of all, I'm an engineer. I don't rush into decisions very quickly on anything. I look at, I analyze.
I analyze some more, and then I analyze some more.
It don't take you 3 hours to buy a shirt.
More like 5 weeks.
So when I answered like that, I can remember this story today. I wanted to look over my shoulder and say, "Who just said that?" Because it couldn't have been me. I wasn't sure I even owned a Bible. And what I now know was the Holy Spirit, who jumped in before I had a chance to say, "Well, let me think about it, and I'll get back." So, here we go, okay. Now, I gotta go. I gotta open my mouth and stuff my foot in it, if you will, as I thought about it at that time. And I thought, well, I'll just go over a couple of times and fail me. Joining that Bible study changed my life. We're here today, still married, doing what we're doing, because of that invitation to join that Bible study. For the Holy Spirit to draw me to that Bible study. That year we were studying the Old Testament. And like, oh, no, my goodness. Couldn't say like something else. Someone's really wrong. But if God works, and we're reading the Old Testament, the early books of the Old Testament, and I'm thinking, what was like tabernacle, an altar, and how the sprinkling, right, you know, and how the priests in the Old Testament dressed. And I thought to myself, oh my God, this is a Catholic church in the Bible.
Who knew?
Who knew? And so the words just started to leap off the page, changed my life. And I just fell in love with Scripture, with the church, with Jesus. And finally, I started to understand what it meant to be a Christian man, a husband, and how to carry that over into my life. And then, so I started to do that in a way that I thought was going to really restore our marriage. But here's the funny thing. Our marriage got worse as that first year in Bible study. And what I realize now is that the devil could see what was going on, and he just turned up the heat. Because when we separated twice in our relationship, it was while I was in Bible study that we separated. So I was under this tremendous, you know, conflict. Here I am in Bible study, learning all this stuff that I've never learned before, never even heard before. I shouldn't say heard. Never, you know, took in before. I'm sure I heard it in school growing up. Learning, trying to be the Christian husband, and the devil was working overtime to destroy our marriage. And it almost did that.
And it's amazing the way God came back into my life, because here is Dominic, and he's, you know, on fire, and he's going to this Bible study. And the ironic thing was that the men's Bible study was actually run by a friend of mine in the media, Mike Redlin from Channel 4. It was a huge men's Bible study. And I knew Mike, and he knew me just from our days on the street together as reporters, but we knew each other as journalists. We didn't know each other as Christians, because he was very solid, and I was very weak in my faith at that point, having fallen away from the Catholic Church. And so Don is in this Bible study, and he comes home, and he's quoting Scripture, and he's talking about the catechism, and he's talking about Jesus, and going to Mass, and I'm thinking I'm married to a Jehovah's Witness or Jesus. What the heck is going on? then I also felt that he was judging me because he was saying things like, well, we need to get together in a relationship with Christ and we need to go back to Mass. And so I felt like, well, who are you to judge me? I'm a Christian. I still believe in God, even though I really wasn't practicing my faith at all. It was all about me, myself, and I. But he was pretty heavy-handed at first. And then he backed off and started to pray for me. But what the Lord had to do with me, and just quickly, how he got my attention, was I was so much into my career that I was focusing everything on that. And I was missing family time together, and I was really sacrificing everything for the next story, the next hire, the next murder, because that's the way you're trained. When you go to journalism school, especially when I was in school 2 years ago, back in the late 70s, early 80s, that was really the height of the women's liberal movement. It was really coming to fruition, and it was all about career, and you had to sacrifice everything and put everything else on the back burner. And especially in the dog-eat-dog world of broadcasting, which is so ironic, because they sit there and they all promote tolerance and peace, and we're all about inclusiveness. To this day, it's still one of the most sexist businesses going. And you have no idea what goes on behind the scenes and how women who try to have children and a family are persecuted and why women have to dress like tarts on the air and the guys look like a normal person, okay? And they're all about inclusiveness, but that's a whole other story. I've written a whole couple of books about that, so you can read that. The bottom line is I sacrificed practically everything, including my marriage and, more importantly, my soul for my career. And so God yanked me out of it. One night I went in and I was a lead story on the 10 o'clock news covering the Malice Green story, the police brutality story that made national news. Next morning I walked in and my contract was up for renewal, and they walked me down to the general manager's office and said, "Nice knowing you. Great job for the past 3 years, but we're going in a different direction." The feedback, I don't know where that's coming from, right into the speaker. And I walked out within 15 minutes with my whole life in a box. And my marriage was falling apart, and I had nothing. I had no identity. My whole identity was in my job as Teresa Tomeo, the journalist, not Teresa Tomeo, the Christian, because I didn't have an identity with Christ at the time. And so there I was with nothing. But God had to take me out of that atmosphere to let me look at myself and see what I had done with my life. And I wasn't very proud when I looked in the mirror. It took me about 6 months, but finally, after that 6 months, when I was arguing with God and Dominic, and I, at that point in that six-month period, we decided that we still loved each other and wanted to keep our marriage together. So we went to counseling and started to work on our relationship. But he was saying, you know, you have to get back into a relationship with God and come back to Mass. And I had no relationship with God, but I was mad at him. Like, how do you be mad at someone you don't even know? But I took out what God loved me. It wouldn't have taken me out of my big, you know, important position. And after about 6 months of arguing with God and beating my head against a brick wall, I looked up at the crucifix in our bedroom and basically said, "Okay, Uncle, if you're the Jesus that I met when I made my Holy Communion, because I had a very powerful experience as a child with Eucharist, then come back into my life, because I don't know what the heck I'm doing." And at that point, brothers and sisters, that's when things started to change for me. The Lord eventually led me back into the secular media for several years on Channel 7. But at that point, when I got back into the media, we were growing in our faith, and I was seeing things much differently. The scales started to fall off my eyes about the secular media, and I felt like a fish out of water, which was so bizarre. Because you have to understand, I've never done anything but broadcasting. I first held a microphone in my hand when I was in the third grade because the nuns didn't know what to do with me because I talked so much. So they gave me a microphone and put me up in the school plays and little productions. And then I started in radio when I was 14 because our high school in St. Clair Shores had a little radio station. I think the signal strength was about a block, but I was still out here. And so I always had a microphone in my hand. You know, but the Lord had to take me out of that atmosphere, put me back in to see it differently. And so I started to say, what am I going to do? But I just felt I couldn't do it anymore because we were growing in our faith. We felt the need to get involved in the church and to help marriages. And in the year 2000, I walked away. 17 years ago, I walked away from the secular media. And it's been an incredible ride since then. But the bottom line is that God's mercy came into our lives in such a unique and such an odd way. And to be open to that can allow such a work to happen, such a work to happen in our lives, to take us from a broken couple that were near divorce, that had no idea what a real relationship with God meant, and to give me an entirely different career in broadcasting, still in communications, but different, for Dominic to discern the diaconate, again, totally an act of mercy of God.
You know, if you look at that, can you hear me?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. So if you look at that word mercy, we just come out of the year of mercy a little bit.
No.
So if you look at that word mercy, and which is the greatest blessing that God has given us in our marriage and in our lives. It's a word that we think of, you know, kind of a synonym to compassion, but it goes even further than compassion. Because compassion, I feel for what you're going through, and I want to walk with you. But mercy wants to take that, dissipate that misery. And obviously, the great example of that is Christ on the cross. He takes away the misery of sin for us, and that's the greatest blessing that we think God has given for us. Speaking of that for a second, I was in line down at the airport a couple of weeks ago, a long TSA line when everyone their slowdowns, and struck a conversation with a man in front of me who was celebrating his 60th anniversary. So I knew Teresa and I were going to do a bunch of talks on our book and all that. So I asked him what was the secret to such a long marriage. And he said to me, well, we were waiting for the security clearance as well. My 10th anniversary, I took my wife to Venice, Italy. And today I'm going back together. Well, there was a time when I would give Teresa a one-way ticket in Atlanta. But he came into our lives in a wonderful way. But I think of the young couples and the way the struggles now that they face, if we had succumbed to that same pressure that so many people face and pulled the plug in our marriage when things got rough, we would have missed coming to know the two most important people in our life, each other and Jesus Christ. It's only when we brought Jesus into our marriage that we're able to survive the difficult times and build our marriage. A couple of years ago, I read a book for business, it was a book that really helped me in all aspects of life. The title was Good to Great, Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't. And it has this quote in there by the author that I think is so profound. We use it for almost every aspect of our life. And it says, few people attain great lives in large part because it's so easy to settle for a good life. And I think that's what we do with our marriage. We settle for a good marriage. When God wants to give us a great marriage, He wants to give us so much more. But we settle for what we see on television, God forbid. We settle for what we see maybe in our friends and neighbors, not understanding what God wants to give us and the blessings He wants to give us through our marriages that we never really attain what He wants to do for us.
So briefly, when we go through this in the book too, the being catechized by the culture versus the church, and I know that we were greatly catechized by the culture, and I was in the secular media for 20 years as a news reporter and anchorwoman, and I really just accepted all of that garbage and messages about, you know, women's liberation and sacrificing everything for your career, and I was pro-choice, and it's crazy. Now, talk about God having a sense of humor. Now I'm just like crazy pro-life activist who covers the March for Life every year. Go figure. I mean, God really does have a sense of humor. But because we didn't have, as we mentioned earlier, that relationship with the Lord, we allowed the world to teach us the ways. And it should be just the opposite. And it's really interesting. Last year, there was a study that came out by the Pew Center for people in the press and people in religion life. And it talked about Catholics in particular and how Catholics talk about this idea of conscience. But a lot of Catholics, and we were there, so we totally get it. I mean, we're not coming at this from a place of, you know, we're holier than thou. I've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. But many Catholics will say, well, you know, my conscience is telling me to do this or that, to vote a certain way, or to support something. And yet, the surveys show that Catholics don't even know what that means, for the most part. About 3/4 of U.S. Catholics, 73%, say they look to their own conscience a great deal for guidance on difficult moral questions. Far fewer Catholics, and listen to this, So they're talking about having a conscience and, you know, saying they look to their conscience. However, they say at the same time that they don't rely on the church's teaching, scripture, or advice from the hierarchy, leaders of the church, nor do they consult the Holy Spirit, which is exactly what the Catechism says, that you have to seek guidance from the Holy Spirit, consult the authoritative teachings of the church, and read scripture. And then you can also obviously consult other sources as well. But the bottom line at the end of the day, if you're in disagreement with the church, especially on core issues, it's not the church that's wrong. It's us. And I've lived my life like that. And to this day, I still have so many interesting discussions, even with Catholic radio listeners who email me and say, well, what do you feel about this? It's not what I feel. It's what God tells us. And yes, I believe it's true, but it's true because it comes from the authoritative teachings of the church and Jesus Christ himself as the head of the church. And so this is how we lived our life. So it's no wonder that our marriage was falling apart, because we were living the ways of the world and the typical yuppies. There's so much in the Catechism and in the teachings of the church about conscience, but I just want to, before we get into the works of mercy, I just want to encourage you to continue in your faith walk wherever you're at, to attend more events like this, to keep listening to Catholic radio, to go to the men's conference that's coming up, because there is so much against us right now in the culture. Even though we had many, many pro-life and pro-family leaders, many solid Catholic leaders that were elected this last November, thanks be to God, there is still such a war going on. And right now the devil is really, really upset. And we're all targets. We all have a big target on our back. So you need events like this. You need to strengthen that relationship and not allow yourself to be catechized by the culture as we were. Briefly, what mercy is and what mercy isn't. I just want to touch upon this for a second. Oftentimes in the world, we hear about mercy as being everybody jump in the free-for-all pool. You know, everybody can do whatever they want because we're being merciful and we're being tolerant. Well, that's not true tolerance, and that's not true mercy. If you look at these images on the screen, you see Jesus with the Samaritan woman, you see the prodigal son, you see Jesus with the adulterous woman. In every single case, Jesus meets the person where they're at, but he doesn't leave them there. True mercy and true love moves a person along. And as Pope Francis always talks about this, accompanying someone. But you don't just walk along that journey and allow them to continue in destructive ways. What the Pope and what our church is talking about is you accompany that person. You meet them where they're at. For example, Jesus meeting the woman at the well. He engages her. He has this conversation. And she is just opened up to this whole new world because she met the Lord and she discovers the gift of God, the living water. But he accompanies her, and she goes on her way and becomes what's considered one of the first evangelists. So true mercy, especially in your marriage, as Dominic was merciful to me in praying for me and not giving up on me and helping me walk away from the life I had to a new life in Christ. So we're going to start right now with the works of mercy. Number one is feeding the hungry. Nobody's hungry right now because we just had a great meal, right? But spiritually hungry, we are, all of us.
The first one is feed the hungry. To respond to your spouse's deepest longings. To take the time to understand what those are. Oh, I'm sorry. What really matters to your spouse. What motivates them, what causes righteous anger, what keeps them up at night, what gets them out of bed in the morning. You know, what are those issues that are so important to their lives that they could really not live without pursuing those issues? For me, there's a great story. This is one of my favorite chapters in the book. It happens to be the first chapter. The great story of Teresa and her early fort when she was growing up. When she was about 10, 11 years old, she and a couple of girlfriends built this fort in the backyard, in her backyard. I'm sure it had big curtains and all that kind of stuff. But it also had this sign, "No boys allowed." Well, the problem was that a couple doors down was the neighborhood bully, Sammy. And he ran the whole neighborhood. You know, you had to do what Sammy wanted, when you wanted, or there would be, at that age, there would be hectic. And nobody ever did anything. Sam's parents were barely known. And Teresa's mom was trying to teach her to be nice and to be kind and, you know, try to get along with Sammy. But the more she did that, the more he bullied her. And at Houston Drive, he was a little girl who would drive Teresa crazy. And this kid was a couple years older, much bigger, obviously grandchild over the home area. Well, one day came the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. And I guess Amy had enough of the girly force, and he came into the backyard and just totally wiped the floor down, just totally destroyed it. Teresa was so incessant that she promptly then decided to, and did, beat the living daylights. it was kind of crazy from what she told me. She grabbed the kid by the hair, dragged him two stories, two houses down to his own carport, his own garage, and started really beating this kid, you know, to a And not that we're obviously advocating physical violence on but the thing for me was that when I first heard that story, I always thought that, oh, the cute kid being kid story. Teresa was always very strong for her size. And, you know, I always thought that was kind of a neat story. I didn't realize until later that what was really at stake here, what was really an issue here, was Teresa's intolerance for injustice, wherever injustice is. And then I started to understand her desire and her keen drive for the pro-life issues, for defending the church, for doing all that she does on the radio in such a passionate way. Because there was a time where I thought maybe she was a little bit too aggressive on a certain issue. But learning to understand what drives her helps me to, you know, feed the hungry, feed her passion, but then also to help her to become a little bit more tolerant in some of those non-critical issues. And so that help our relationship to grow both ways.
I really don't go around beating people up anymore, honestly. At least not physically. No. Actually, Sammy Nevada grew up to be a really nice guy and with a family man. A couple of years ago, I think it was when I was still on Channel 7, we ran into him at a local restaurant, and he and his wife were at the bar, and he kind of nodded his head, and I said, "Dominic, that's..." And he sends over these two drinks, and I said, "Don't drink it, it's got poison in it." Give drink to the thirsty, which is exactly what you're doing right now. You're refreshing your love for each other in an event like this. I like to use statistics and a lot of research to back up when we do our testimonies and when I give talks. It's very interesting to me that most couples, if you look at the research, only spend about 30, 40 minutes of alone time, actual alone time, when they're either in their bedroom or at a quiet place in the house, of alone time per week. They're together in the home, you know, getting the meals together, getting ready for work, or being with the children, but that quiet time together is only about 30, 40 minutes a week. So giving drink to the thirsty means to be refreshing your love for each other, just like you're doing tonight. And when is the last time beyond tonight that you had a date night together? And so that's why we're encouraging this evening to look forward to next year, but hopefully in between this year and next year's event, you'll have some date nights. You won't just wait till next year to get together again for a special event. Pope Francis says the best thing parents can do for their children is to show the children how much they love each other.
Clothe the naked. Protect and cherish each other in vulnerable moments. If you've been married a few years or many years, I'm sure you know those areas in your life, in your spouse's life, that are the difficult times, the vulnerable times, the situations or the persons who are going to get to them and be a near occasion of sin in some way or another. And so protect them by stepping in front or by talking about the situation that's going to happen, defending your spouse in front of others, and sticking up for the relationship, your relationship and your beliefs with your spouse. I hear so many men at work or at the sporting events or, you know, things when you're together with guys, how they talk about their wives in a way that, like, really? You know, that's your wife. You talk about her like, you know, she's some next door neighbor that you barely know, or someone who has no meaning in your life. We need it as both husband and wife to protect our spouses in those vulnerable times.
Shelter the homeless. Be a safe haven for the other. Make your home a safe place where you're comfortable to discuss things that mean a lot to you. When we were having our troubles, our home was not a safe haven. As a matter of fact, we avoided coming home. We all worked, both of us worked very late because we were having so much stress in our life. And the home was not a safe haven or a shelter. One of the ways to do this also is to spend less time in front of the computer and the television to silence the noise and to make it much more peaceful. I don't know about you, but when you walk into a home that has three or four TVs on or the radio on or all those things blaring, to me it affects my peace. And everybody thinks because we're both in ministry and I write books about the media and I'm on radio and Dom's a deacon that we have this perfect, you know, family life with our relatives, and it's just the opposite. I mean, our family's like moonstruck on steroids, if you've ever seen the movie. And we go to visit his family in Pennsylvania, and he has two younger brothers, and they have, several kids, and they're nice people, they're not bad people, but, you know, I write books about this, and I walk into their house, and they've got 12 TVs on, and I'm like, ah! You know, it's crazy. So make it a safe haven. And spend more time together and less time with the media. The less time with the media, except for Catholic radio, the more peaceful your home will be.
Visit the sick. Be a healing presence to be the healing presence of Jesus in your marriage. You know, when I was first involved in the diaconate and going through formation, one of my first summer internships was with working with a board downtown Detroit, and my supervisor said that she wanted to teach me about the ministry of presence and the presence. And I really didn't understand what that meant. I wanted to do things. I wanted to help them, you know, get better housing or find a stable job. And she pressed upon me the importance of just being there, just being with someone. You know, I'm sure we've all faced the issue of going to a funeral or a difficult situation, but all I have to say is it was really good. Sometimes the most important thing is just to be there, just to show up. We've had many conversations together, not conversations, we have had many great moments together as husband and wife without saying a single word, just by being with each other. And I think we need to do that, just being quiet and being there for the other person.
Dominic can probably tell you that one of the best times of his life is when I completely lost my voice 2 years ago and had to be quiet for 6 weeks. It was amazing. We literally sat there, and this is the one time where we had the only way I could communicate. I couldn't talk on the phone. I couldn't do anything. I'd torn my vocal cords, and we actually sat there and texted each other across the table. Like 2 tables. Anyway, ransom the captive quickly and bury the dead, because I know we want to wrap this up by 9 o'clock so you can hit the dance floor and enjoy the rest of the evening. But ransoming the captive was huge for me because my husband is the one, and I get much of the accolades because I'm out there on the air and on TV and radio, but he was the one, and I always say he's the wind beneath my wings, because he told me when we were going through all the problems, he said, even if you leave me, I will never let you leave God. So there's a husband who was concerned more for me and my well-being, my spiritual well-being most importantly, than for his own happiness in terms of our relationship. He put me and my salvation first. So ransoming the captive is understanding that it is our responsibility as a spouse to help the other person get to heaven. And if we see them struggling with something, to make sure they get the help we need. And then burying the dead follows right along with responding to your spouse's deepest sorrows or regrets. I love this saying, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Sometimes we can get stuck in our past sin. And one of the things that I struggled with a lot was, even though we forgave each other, I couldn't forgive myself for the many problems that I caused in our relationship, and I dealt with a lot of guilt. And Dominic was able to help me move forward. Now, speaking of moving forward, we'll move right on to our spiritual works of mercy. Admonish the sinner. This is a sensitive one, because it's tough when you're in a situation, and, for example, in our case, I was addicted to work. My career was everything to me. I literally was addicted to the news business. And in many ways, again, that's what it's beaten into your head, especially as a woman in broadcasting, that you have to do this, you have to give up everything, or else you're just not going to make it in the business. So Dominic was able to help me see that my life had more meaning than just who I was as a newscaster, that I was special simply because I was a daughter of the king, and I had dignity because I was one of his children. And then you can also get into a situation where there are serious things such as, God forbid, maybe a pornography addiction, other forms of adultery, maybe challenges with other types of addictions and illnesses. And it's very important to meet the person where they're at, but again, talking about true mercy and the work of mercy, not leaving that person there. And if there is an addiction or there is a serious sin going on, then there has to be some sort of intervention. Obviously, confession, the sacraments, maybe going to see your priest in addition to confession as a couple, counseling, something that has to be done. But you do it in a loving way without judging that person, without attacking that person, but coming to them in love, admonishing them in a loving way, and meeting them, as Pope Francis says, where they're at, and accompanying them to a better place to help them get to heaven.
Instructing the ignorant. Embracing your marriage is a journey of discovery. You're doing that tonight. But it's not just so much, for example, here tonight, or coming to a dinner and hearing us talk and then having some wonderful dancing and music. But then taking that experience you had home with you and talking about it, what did it mean to you? So that your everyday experiences and your special experiences become a time where you can learn about each other more, grow in each other. In each other's love. And sometimes it's not even an event like this or in opposed to a religious event. One of the greatest things we ever did was learn how to scuba dive. We took that up, and in looking back on it, we both embraced it, and we had a wonderful time doing that and seeing God's creation through our adventures in scuba diving down in the Caribbean, to see all that God has created for us that we never even see, and then taking and talking about that and what that meant to us and how that helped us grow in our appreciation of God's creation and who He made us to be.
I'm trying to get him to take ballroom dancing lessons, but that isn't
That's probably a big stretch.
Counseling the doubtful and comforting the afflicted work together. Counseling the doubtful, helping to build up the faith of your spouse, which you've heard a kind of a summary of our testimony and how Dominic did that with me, really encouraging me to embrace my faith and to meet me where I was at. And also when I started in Catholic radio with my own talk show, Grant and I had been on the air for eons since Dirt, but having a talk show was a whole new ballgame. Not that you can't talk to a wall anywhere, but I mean, I talk an awful lot. But it's a big responsibility. And he was, you know, the one who said, you can do this. And I'm like, who's going to want to listen to me for an hour or 2 hours? And here we are 15 years later, and now my show is on 500 stations. So I guess, you know, it's going okay. But he really gave me a lot of confidence in myself and counseled me when I was doubtful. And then comforting the afflicted, helping your spouse deal with stress is huge. We are all so busy, and I know that it was a sacrifice to get here tonight with the schedules, and I'm sure with children and with work and weekend activities with the family, but you are here, and you dealt with the stress, you worked it out, and now you're having a wonderful evening, and you had drinks, and we're going to have dancing a little bit. What a great, aren't you glad you came tonight? I mean, isn't it really nice to come together and talk? Joke, what do you make for dinner tonight, honey? The response, reservations, right? Nothing wrong with that. Again, cutting back on the noise. To have a peaceful place in the home where you can be together as husband and wife.
Bear wrongs patiently and forgive injuries willingly. I think they really go together. Realize the benefits of patience in your marriage. I take after my father a lot, and when God was handing out the patience, my father got out of line because he was tired of waiting. And so learn not to sweat. Basically, really, learn not to sweat the small stuff and being patient. It's amazing how much you can benefit from not only just being patient, but understanding that we all make mistakes. We all have our own idiosyncrasies. We all have different ways of doing things. And just be patient.
forgiving injuries willingly. If I had to our one message tonight, of all these spiritual and corporal works of mercy, would be the power of forgiveness. And how the burden of unforgiveness robs us of the life that Jesus wants us to have, the marriages that he wants us to have. You know, there's an old expression about forgiveness is that when you forgive somebody, you set a prisoner free, only to realize that the prisoner was yourself. As Americans, we spend so much money on trying to lose that extra weight, especially this time of year. All kinds of machines and pills and bonds and all that stuff. But we carry around that weight and that burden of unforgiveness for so long. And sometimes it gets to a point where we don't even remember what we're angry about or what we don't talk to people about. But we just keep proliferating that. It's that power, that unforgiveness that robs us, as I said, of that life that God wants us to have. And so, forgive offenses willingly. St. Paul says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He didn't wait for us to apologize first. He forgave us while we were doing the very same thing that put him on the cross. And that's what we need to do to bring about our marriage. Then after, there can be reconciliation. We have to forgive from the heart first before you can move on to anything else.
And again, being that we come from both very strong, you know, hard-headed Italian-American families, we have relatives on both sides of the family that haven't spoken to each other for 10, 15, 20 years, but they can't even remember why. They have no idea. You know? And I think if you listen to my show, you know that last year my older sister Donna, to whom I was very close, passed away of ovarian cancer at the very young age of 62. And I truly believe that there's a connection, and I've even done some research on this and interviewed medical experts, there's a great deal of connection between not only your emotional well-being and a lack of forgiveness, but your physical well-being, because lack of forgiveness causes anger and stress we know is connected to all kinds of physical ailments, including there's been connections, studies that have been done on connection to cancer. And my sister had a lot of issues in terms of unforgiveness, where she was separated from her daughter, and she had a list of everybody that had done something wrong to her. She'd moved to Florida, and she just kept this mental list in her mind going over and over again. The baker didn't make the cake right, so she doesn't go there. This person's salami is lousy, so she doesn't go there. You know, Mama Mia, get over it. You know, but she had all this angst, much of it coming from her broken relationship with her daughter. And practically on her deathbed, she told me, "I wasted so much time. I wasted so much time, but it took all those years and her getting deathly ill, and by then it was too late before she realized that she had spent a lot of her life in unforgiveness." And last but not least, pray for the living and the dead. Praying together as a couple is really important, and we emphasize this in the book. And that may sound strange to some of you if you haven't started that already, but it really isn't very difficult. And what Deacon Dom and I do every morning is we read scripture together. We do the daily mass readings. And we use either the Magnificat or the Word Among Us. And it's a very easy thing to do because it's all structured according to the daily mass readings. And it starts out, you find out who the saint of the day is, which is always fun and interesting. And then there's an opening prayer, and you go through the readings, and there's a reflection, and there's a closing prayer. So it's all formulated, and you can come together, and you will be amazed. Even today, the gospel for today, this Saturday, is Jesus telling the apostles, and I read this to the group this morning in our marriage conference in Brighton, to come away to a quiet place. So I thought, how significant was it that the Lord was speaking to us as we were meeting with these couples who had come to a quiet place at St. Pat's in Brighton to have a marriage conference? There's all kinds of ways to pray together. Everybody is different, but it's really, really important to come together, to pray together, and then intercede for your spouse, to pray for your spouse every single day, even if you're not with them, if they're out of town or at work. I don't know how many of you 2 years ago saw the great movie that came out called The War Room. And it was about a couple that were in a great deal of strife. And this woman who's a real estate agent meets this woman, you know, she's going to sell her home, and they become friends. And she's a very solid Christian. It teaches her about spiritual warfare and how to pray and protect your family. It's a beautiful movie. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to rent it. But the power of prayer. And I truly believe one of the reasons that Christians and many other conservatives won the election was because of the power of prayer around this country. I really believe that. And I know that my husband's prayer for me, unbeknownst to me, how hard he was praying for me to come back to the church, made a huge difference in my life. And also, last but not least, to tap into the cloud of witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses that we have in the saints. Last year, I had a book come out called Girlfriends and Other Saints, Companions on My Journey of Faith. And when I sat down and I wrote that book, I was amazed at how many times St. Teresa of Avila, my patron saint, St. Gabriel, one of the patron saints of communications, have been there for me and helping me in my journey. And we don't take advantage of that beautiful cloud of witnesses. Let me get the quote up. Hold on.
There's a wonderful quote from Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th from Spe Salvi. It's not, it wasn't directly related to marriage, but when Teresa and I read this quote, we thought it was so perfect for marriage and for an event like this. He says, "No one lives alone. No one sins alone. No one is saved alone. The lives of others continually spill over into mine. In what I think, say, do, and achieve. And conversely, my life spills over into that of others, for better and for worse. And we like to add, for richer and for poorer, in sickness and in health, all the days of our life."
So we thank you for being here tonight at this first ever World Marriage Day gathering for the Diocese of Grand Rapids. And we hope that you've received some words of encouragement for marriage, for you to go from here and to continue to make a difference in your relationship. Never, ever, ever take each other for granted. And if any of you, and if the statistics are correct, there's probably at least a handful of couples in here who are struggling and who may be on the verge and thinking that there's nothing that can be done. I'm just here because somebody invited us and it's a nice night out. Well, look at us. We were at the point of divorce, very close to divorce. We separated twice. We went to Retrovi, and that didn't even work for us. Not that Retrovi is amazing, but I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't open to it. And so it didn't work for me at that time, but we recommend it highly because it's an amazing program and a table out there. But if God can still, despite all of that, work in our lives and take this hard-headed Italian-American reporter, who was all about herself, and take a man who was simply just working, being an engineer, and turn him into an amazing deacon, save our marriage, put me on the air, and do all these things, for crying out loud, he can help anybody, okay? So never, ever, 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 ever think that it's hopeless. Because with God, brothers and sisters, all things are possible. Thank you. God bless you.
Just a few announcements and thanking our sponsors tonight. Just to follow up on the talk here, the light is shining bright here tonight in this building. And they talked about in their marriage when the devil attacked them. And leaving here tonight, I think it's just important to remember that you have to intentionally plan something. So you're here tonight, intentionally plan time together, quality time, something you can do together. If there's anything in your marriage that you need to forgive or that act of mercy, as they talked about, pray together. Schedule time right now before you leave tonight. Schedule time to pray together. So we would just like to thank some of the sponsors. First of all, we'd like to thank the parishes that sponsored this event. Immaculate Heart of Mary and Father Troy Nevins. Thank you. Father Tony Russo, who married us 8 years ago, and Our Lady of Consolation. Father Mike Albert and St. John Vianney for their support and sponsorship.
Father James Cusick Charitable Fund. Father James Cusick was born in Hubbardston, Michigan. He was ordained in 1956 at St. Andrew's Cathedral. During his 39 years as priest, Father Cusick was associated with 8 parishes and a pastor of 4 of them. He had a unique talent for raising money. Prior to his death, he established the Father James Cusick Charitable Fund, which since its inception has gifted over $266,000 to Catholic causes in West Michigan. Father Cusick used his own money to start this fund, and Cherish would like to thank him for sponsoring our speakers today.
We'd like to thank Upperlands for their financial donation for this event, Holy Family Radio for their support and with advertising and promoting this event. Priests that are here tonight, can you please stand? We thank God for the gift of our priests. Thank you for your wisdom, your understanding, and your encouragement. We pray for you in your vocation. Some information in the lobby. As mentioned a couple times, the KEPA conference is on March 11th. And there's also a night for women on March 10th. And that Friday night, Father Michael Gatley is going to be speaking at an event for women. So if you go to the KEPA website, you can find out how to register for the Friday night women's event and the Saturday night men's conference. Teresa Tamio and Deacon Dominic Pastora will have some books outside the lobby here, so feel free to stop by and talk to them and get a book. Retrobio tables outside, and also there's a table about from Franciscan Life Process Center. Overall, we've been overwhelmed with the response to this event, and planning for next year has already started for Cherish 2017. It's going to be in early February, but please stay tuned. We don't know exact date yet, but please stay tuned to your email, Facebook, and Holy Family Radio for next year's event. Before we end, we'd like to acknowledge some of our newlywed couples and some of our couples that have been married the longest. So if you've been married for 5 years or less, can you please stand up? Try to find the couple that's married the shortest amount of time here. So if you've been married for 4 years or less, sit down. Thank you. Stay standing. 3 years or less, stay standing. 2 years or less, stay standing. 1 year? 6 months? 5 months? Oh. Who are you married?
Over here. Over here.
We got someone over here.
Still up?
Standing. When were you married?
Back in October.
October. Congratulations. Come up to the stage. We got a crown for you.
Jealous.
So we got a crown and a tiara for you tonight.
You got to dance like that. That's what I mean.
You got to lead the first dance here, so. So we'd like to recognize also the couples that have been married for a long time. If you've been married for 5 years or more, please stand up.
We're going to climb up a little bit.
If you've been married for more than 15 years, please remain standing. 20 years. 25 years. Wow. Look at this. Awesome. 30 years. 35 years. 40 years. Forty-seven. Start the dancing. We've got a few tables to clear away. So we'll start the tables. If you have a tiara or a crown, please lead us in the first dance here. Give us a few minutes to clear the tables. Sorry, right before that. Sorry. I'd like to introduce one of the co-founders, as we mentioned earlier. This event, Pam and Steve Strubel went to the east side of the state and went to a cherished or marriage event on the other side. And they want to make an announcement real quick.
Thank you, Paul and Debbie, for our awesome MCs. I can't control my wonderful cousin Steve, and those of you who know us, I tend to do more talking. So I'm just going to take the mic right now, because I want to share just a little story. I want to thank all of you for coming, because you know, when God plants a thought, an idea, a desire in your heart over and over again, it's time to listen, okay? And He will provide the people what He puts it on your heart. I just want to share a little story, because last year, well, we've been listening to Holy Family Radio, praise God, for a number of years, and we've heard Teresa oftentimes talk about the World Marriage Day event. We just couldn't make it happen on a Sunday afternoon, but last year, February 14th, Steve and I said, it's time. We can make it our schedule. We have 7 children trying to work out a Sunday afternoon in Detroit. You know, drive 2 hours, attend a 4-hour event, drive home 2 hours. But it was worth it. But on the way there, Steve said, aw, honey, I didn't get you any flowers. He's a great guy. He's flowers, you know, but a busy man. Anyhow, I said, don't worry about it. We're taking this long drive. It's okay. I thank you for just being willing to come with me to this event. The San Marino Club is bigger than this, and it holds 600 plus people. We didn't know anybody there, or at least we thought. We came and found out there was one other couple who had lived in Grand Rapids, our parish at St. Thomas the Apostle. Thank you, Father Jim, who was here and had to leave. But we said, it's fine now, you know? So we went and got our seats. When you're there early, because you drive far, you get there early, and we got seats closed up, and it was all open seating. And we thought, okay, we'll party napkins over the seat, and we'll go get a drink, and then we'll see if we can find the other couple. Well, by the time we found the other couple and went back to the seats we thought we had reserved, somebody else had taken them. And you know, we're virtuous people, we're just driving, right? So I didn't say anything, you know? We're on the wrong side of the seat. We're on the rough side. That's the B side. So anyhow, we had to go to the movies. But they started the event, and on the program, He said, turn it around and see if you have a red sticker, heart sticker on your program. Well, guess what was on my program and the seat that we had been moved to? A red heart sticker. And those who had red heart stickers could come up and get a rose. The husband was supposed to come get the rose for his wife. Saint Therese answers every prayer. She was there, giving me a rose for my husband who, bless him, didn't get me a rose that day. But I got a rose. So anyhow, we were planning this event. We came home for that weekend, and maybe you heard me on the radio, and said, okay, are we going to do this? Can we do this in Grand Rapids? John and Michelle David, they said our names a lot, but John and Michelle, this and Michelle, Stephen and I do this in Grand Rapids. Will you and John help us? Sure, we'll help you. Little did we know when we started looking at contracts, I don't know if we can afford this. But anyhow, I made the store too long. Cousin says too long. So, I want all of you dear ladies to go home with a flower tonight. So, because we maxed out the house, we had a little bit more money in our budget than we thought we would, because we really needed to pay for this. But you paid for this. We have a single red rose for all of you to take home. Please don't let me have to take these home. My children might like them, but I want you to take them home. And to know that you are loved so much. And Stephen and I were married, our theme, do you remember, dear?
4 to 3 strands, that is easy, 4 to 5.
Right, easy as he's 4:12. God was the third person in our marriage.
I do just want to thank John and Michelle David and the Strobles. John and Michelle are so helpful for me in my parish, and I cannot tell you how much that means to me as a pastor to have a lay couple who cares so much about marriage to help in that ministry. This is from St. John Paul II's Familiaris Consortio, 1981. The communion of love between God and people, a fundamental part of the revelation and faith experience of Israel, finds a meaningful expression in the marriage covenant, which is established between a man and a woman. For this reason, the central word of revelation, God loves his people, is likewise proclaimed through the living and concrete word, whereby a man and a woman express their conjugal love. Their bond of love becomes the image and the symbol of the covenant which unites God and his people. If you could stand, Father Mike Albert, Father Jager, Father Cavera, Tom Cavera, Father Peter Damian, Father Jim Chelich, if you're still here, I think you said you left, Father Tony Russo, Father Colin Mulhall, Bishop. That's you. It may be dangerous, but I want to speak on your behalf. We as pastors and priests, in our vocation, appreciate, respect, and reverence what you are doing and the struggles and challenges that you have faced. We are so grateful to be with you tonight, and we are so grateful that you are celebrating this holy sacrament. We know the difficulties and the challenges that you face. We hear it day in and day out. You know our struggles as well. to love our bride, the church, is no different than to love as you are loving. And so with that, we want to pray our prayer of blessing over you. If the couples would please stand, join your hands, close your eyes. Let us pray. We praise you, O God. We bless you, Creator of all things, who in the beginning made man and woman that they might form a communion of life and love. We also give you thanks for graciously blessing the family life of these, your servants, who have gathered tonight here, so that it might present an image of Christ's union with the church. Therefore, look with kindness upon them today. And as you have sustained their communion amid joys and struggles, renew their marriage covenant each day. Increase their charity. Strengthen them in the bond of peace, so that together with the children, with the circle of their children that surrounds them, they may forever enjoy your blessing. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And bow your heads for God's blessing. May God, the all-powerful Father, grant you with his joy. Amen.
Amen.
May the only begotten Son of God stand by you with compassion in good times and in bad.
Amen.
And may the Holy Spirit always pour forth his love into your hearts.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless all of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dance in peace.